Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. Weather is beautiful. Hey, can I tell you? Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And I'm hoping you enjoy it today, because tomorrow, look for highs easily into the mid-80s. Rest of the week, closer to 90. Humidity is ramping up, all that stuff. But today is a day. If you have the opportunity to enjoy it. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. 5:35, one of my buddies, Matt Krieger, is going to be along. Does that great concert series in Doswell each and every summer. They got some big acts coming again this year. They always do. But Matt's going to pop by at 5:35. We'll get some details on it. You and I are looking at the situation in Colorado. And I do have to say, again, that aside from the police chief in Colorado and the disgraced former FBI official, Andrew McCabe, it seems like everybody else understands this was terrorism. That's what Kash Patel says. It's what Dan Bongino says. It's, if I understand it correctly, the SAC out there in Boulder said the same thing. So I'm going with those guys. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, knows a thing or two about federal investigations and what is or is not this or that. I'm happy to say he's joining us. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeff, I feel like here we go again. It's like Groundhog Day with this. It's another one of these incidents, one right after the other. And you know, you look at what happened at the Pennsylvania governor's home, where he and his family were almost, you know, burned alive in their home by an arsonist who obviously was expressing his anti-Semitism by attacking the governor of one of the largest states in the country. Mm-hmm. Then just a week ago in D.C., Jeff, you have a young Jewish couple that worked at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., gunned down in cold blood by some radical Marxist anti-Semite. And then this, Jeff, it's mind-boggling to me. And I want to share real quickly with you a little anecdote that just explains the disconnect. I think Benjamin Netanyahu said it best when he says, look, you know, it's not just Israel that this form of you know, anti-Semitism that's exhibited by these extremist Islamists, it's not just Israel they want to destroy. They're coming for Western civilization. This is an existential threat. And I'm not being overly hyperbolic, Jeff. I'm not trying to, you know, act, you know, too crazy about this, because we've got to look at this, you know, methodically and figure out how we eradicate this. Right. But my quick anecdote, I'm at an event this weekend as a former mayor, and I meet another former public official. He happens to be a Democrat, and he's Jewish, and we are good friends. We disagree on many things politically, but he's a good and decent man, and I think he feels the same way about me. And this is a couple of weeks ago, and again, we're talking, and I'm like, you know, all the stuff going on these college campuses, gosh, I said, did you ever in a million years feel that there would be such openly allowable anti-Semitism? He goes, well, Jimmy, you know, what really frightens me as a Jew is white Christian nationalism. And Jeff, you know me, I immediately go to the facts and figures and stats. And I said to my friend, I'm like, well, look, you know, in 2018, you know, during the first Trump term, yep, the top four terror groups, they killed tens of thousands of people across the globe, were all radical Islamists. It was ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Shabaab, and Al-Qaeda. Jeff, before I cat on with you right now, I wanted to look up and find out who is doing most of the killing now. And so this is 2024, okay, 6 years later, and the Global Terrorism Index, GTI, it's the Islamic State. It's the Taliban in Pakistan. It's a group called Jamaat Nusrat al-Islam that operates in parts of Africa and Mali. And finally, it's another Somali group that's similar to Al-Shabaab. These same groups are responsible for the greatest amounts of terror across the globe. And Jeff, what do they all have at the heart of their credo or their ethos? A hatred for the Jews. Yeah. And that's what we experienced in Boulder yesterday. And I'm sad to hear that there now we do have deaths involved in it. You know, we were wondering how people were doing after being burned by Molotov cocktails and some kind of makeshift flamethrower. But gosh, Jeff, and I say this to you, you know better than I do, it's history repeating itself.
It is. And I don't want to say anything nasty about your friend, because I know you're, when you call somebody a friend, it means something. And that means something to me that he is your friend. But I do have to say that there are so many in the Jewish community in the year 2025 who are really secular humanists and are progressives before they want to talk about anything that's Jewish. And one of the things that's disturbing, he talks about white Christian nationalist. Okay, I mean, he can talk about it all he wants. But I can tell you, and you know this, when you listen to what these groups are saying, when they're speaking amongst each other in Arabic, continually the phrase first Saturday, then Sunday is used. They're not trying in any way to disguise what the ultimate goal is here. It is the destruction of the West. It is the destruction, first, of Judaism, second, of Christianity. And there are a lot of people who are deceiving themselves. And then we have some self-serving politicians, as you know, who are trying to conflate things. And I have to ask you, though, Andrew McCabe, who did not exactly leave the bureau in the highest of standing, I think that's a kind way to describe it. He, too, is saying, well, we don't really know what's happening and this and that. The chief of police in Boulder says, gosh, I don't want to say this or that. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, and I believe the SAC out there, immediately said, yeah, this sure seems to be terrorism to us. What say you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jeff, you always have to be careful, and I understand that. You know, you never want to get out ahead of things. Mm-hmm. But when it looks like a duck, when it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and yells free Palestine and death to all Zionists,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff, you could probably winnow out domestic dispute, workplace violence, you could probably make a reasonable assertion that is what it is. And I remember a couple of years taking a beating because I was disappointed when the Bureau would not announce that a synagogue on the High Holy Day that was attacked and congregants were shot, and the FBI came out in an abundance of caution, again, delayed by hours, stating what we all already knew. Now, look, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, law enforcement, we've got to be precise in language, and we've got to be precise in what we call things. But this was obvious, and I think you touched on it in the top of the hour. This was a case of a Boulder police chief that, you know, lives in one of the, you know, most liberal cities in the country, one of the most liberal states in the country,
yep,
and just dancing around that fine line of being afraid of inflaming tensions. It's just an utter joke. Call things what they are, Jeff, and I know that's what you do.
Jimmy Galeano is joining us. Jimmy, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Let me ask you about the role of the FBI in this, Jimmy, because as I tried to go through news accounts and the whatever little paperwork, if you will, that was available, I see the following involved. You've got the Boulder City Police Department. You have the Boulder County Sheriff's Office. You have the Colorado State Patrol, the Colorado Bureau of Investigations, And then we get into some of the three-letter folks, the FBI, et cetera. So who is really in charge here, and how does all of this eventually get investigated?
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And prosecuted.
Yeah, Jeff, I have, as you well know, I have huge respect for law enforcement partners, the local police, the state police. The bottom line is, this is an FBI investigation. Why is that? Well, there was a thing called Presidential Decision Directive, I think it was 62, and it was signed by Bill Clinton back in 1998. And here's essentially what it says. It was pages and pages and pages of language, but basically it boiled down to, if an event or an incident is thought to be terrorism, the FBI assumes lead control of the investigation. Now, there are times, and it happens more frequently than you would think, whereby a state might have laws on the book that are actually, you know, more robust than the feds do. Now, in this instance, this guy is probably going to be charged with a WMD charge. Now, some states have WMD statutes. New York State is one. Okay. He's been charged, I believe, with federal hate crimes. And then there's a load of state felonies, because obviously a murder, attempted murder, assault, those things aren't typically federal violations unless they're tied into something bigger or broader like a conspiracy. But yes, this will be an investigation led by the FBI, obviously working in concert with all the other agencies. But Jeff, real quick, interesting to note here too, and you look at the immigration issue, and you know, you talk about it a lot on your show, it's front and center. So this guy enters this country as a courtesy on August 2, 2022. He comes in on a B-2 visa. He's allowed to work. Now, the visa expires in February of 2023. He applies for asylum in September of 2022, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I've said this before. We've talked about asylum, and I've researched this. Jeff, 3-4% of the people that apply for asylum are eligible for it and receive it. Those are the numbers. And it's much less than 10%. So think about that. Vast majority of people abuse that system. Why do I bring this up? The guy, the subject, who will remain nameless, the subject now who's in police custody, tells his interviewers, his interrogators, that he had been planning this attack for over a year. Let that resonate. While he is here, on a work visa, and while he is applying for asylum, because he's leaving a place where he feels, Egypt, that he is being oppressed or persecuted, and then comes here and attacks our countrymen and our countrywomen. It is an upside-down world, Jeff, and guess what? You see what's going on in Europe right now, you watch what's going on in Paris, and they want to globalize the Intifada. They're not just screaming that on college campuses and not thinking it's going to happen. It has led to these three tragic incidents of recent, Jeff, and I'm afraid we're going to see more before we see less.
I think you're probably right. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, talking a little bit about the situation in Colorado, how it might be tied into other things. Will there be a further investigation, Jimmy, into his connections, as an example, to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is very, very strong, as you know, in Egypt, that leading proponent of terrorist activities? Is that something that the FBI will go and look at, or is it enough to say, look, here's what he did here within the state of Colorado, this is what we're pursuing?
Jeff, that's a great question. I mean, you'll recall that Mohammed Atta, who was the leader of the 19, you know, terrorists that hijacked airplanes and flew them into buildings and into the ground on 9/11, was from Egypt. Sure. You know, and obviously investigators are doing that right now. They're probably scrubbing all of his, you know, his laptops and cell phones, whatever kind of digital footprint he has, and we call it in the business digital exhaust, who he contacted, who's wired him money, you know, who he's chats with, who he's in contact with on WhatsApp or one of those other kind of encrypted apps. Right. They're doing all that because, remember, Jeff, this could be two things. This could be somebody inspired, mm-hmm. or this could be somebody directed. Is he part of a terrorist network where they put him up to it? Well, if they did, this was kind of a slipshod operation. Although anytime there's death and injuries like this, obviously, you know, it's something that, you know, is horrific. Yeah. It could have been much worse, of course. Thank God he didn't have his, you know, hands on a device or, you know, something that with explosive capabilities or a semi-automatic weapon and knew how to use it or something like that.
Yep.
But, yeah, they're going to go back and determine that, Jeff, and we'll know, was this something where he was directed to do it or was this something where he just read stuff online or he had a hatred for the U.S. and his purpose in coming here was he wanted to do something like this or he was inspired by all the unrest right now we see. Mm. Look, nothing against college kids protesting. I mean, it's been going on since the dawn of time. We get it. That's where they figure things out and they scream yep. at the generations before them. But yep. the stuff that is being said on these campuses, Jeff, it goes beyond the First Amendment. I would argue it is incitement and it is fomenting exactly what we saw yesterday.
What great points, Jimmy. You talk about Muhammad Atta. Obviously, that was an operation years in the making, millions and millions of dollars, apparently, with that. My first sense with this, if he made all of these, quote, Molotov cocktails, all right, that's relatively easy. I need bottles. I need something flammable. I know where these Jewish people are. We'll go there. But then this, apparently, improvised or homemade flamethrower. I mean, I don't know his background. I don't know if he's smart or not smart or trained, but boy, that just does seem to be a step beyond, at least to a layman looking in from the outside.
Sure. Well, I mean, Jeff, you know, we track certain things in the government, right? I mean, if you go to buy a firearm, you know, it's, you know, there's a serial number on it and you fill out paperwork and there's a background check. We all understand that. If you go to a tractor supply store and try to buy 1,000 bags of fertilizer and then head over to the petrol dump and try to buy, you know, 55 gallon drums of diesel fuel, after Oklahoma City in 1995, these are things now that get tracked and tripped and the federal government is made aware of when these type of purchases are made. When you do something at this level, making a Molotov cocktail is one of the simplest incendiary devices that you can build. Yeah. I don't know anything about the details regarding this homemade flamethrower, but Jeff, look, you know, I mean, people can go on the internet, and unfortunately, you live in a free and open society. People can post what they want. Going back to the Anarchist Cookbook, Jeff, which I believe was written back in the 60s, which told people how to build bombs in their kitchen. So, yeah, it's not too hard. It doesn't cost that much money. And if somebody is hell-bent on causing terror or hurting a group of people or just causing chaos, well, that's exactly what you saw happen the other day.
Jimmy, I'm chuckling just a little bit, and I just appreciate the fact that as I was thinking Anarchist Cookbook, there you were. It's a throwback, though, but you're right. I mean, you don't have to have that anymore. Everything that was in there has advanced exponentially, for goodness sakes, and, of course, is all available with the click of a button or two. Hey, one of the things that I demand each and every time you're kind enough to be here is that you remind everybody about the law enforcement legal defense fund, because we got good men and women doing a tough job, and sometimes they need some backup.
Yeah, and this is a time when you've got, you know, many major cities that have some of the George Soros financed DAs that are making determinations on whether police officers and other law enforcement officers are charged with crimes for doing their job. And what the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund does is we provide material support. We provide financial aid to, you know, help a police officer that's been suspended or fired from their job with their litigation costs, as well as keeping the lights on and putting food on the table. And Jeff, we only choose the cases where it is a clear-cut case of overreach and just a horrific, you know, decision made by DAs that are hell bent on, you know, charging cops with things that are unfair and unjust. Remember, it's objective reasonableness. We look at these cops, we put them in tough positions, we have them go out and do things that we don't want to do, and then we're judging them as if they have the time to stop it and view it in slow motion. And so what we do is we try to take care of those folks. Your listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org. And Jeff, always appreciate you. You are one of the biggest back to blue guys there is, and we always appreciate your support.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you being here, brother. That is Jimmy Galliano. Jimmy is a retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, graduate of West Point, served as the mayor of his hometown, and he's really close, as I understand it, to wrapping up his PhD. He is one smart dude and a man's man. Think the world of him. It is 3:53. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.